This is Fresh Air. I'm Terry Gross. Paul Weyrich is a leading conservative strategist. He founded two political think tanks, the Heritage Foundation and the Free Congress Foundation. He came up with the name for Jerry Falwell's group, the Moral Majority. In late 1993, Weyrich created a conservative political news talk network called National Empowerment Television. Newsweek called it the first of its kind, an unabashedly ideological political TV channel. NET reaches about 11 million homes. Weyrich hosts a show. Newt Gingrich co-hosts a program. The network also carries Gingrich's history lectures to his college class. I asked Paul Weyrich to describe the network.
NET, the Political News Talk Network, is a 24-hour public affairs channel, which is sort of brash and irreverent and anti-establishment. We do 8 hours of original programming a day and then essentially repeat it twice. And we are now carried on cable systems and broadcast channels around the country that reach over 11 million homes.
I'm always confused about how one can be anti-government and anti-establishment when, for instance, Newt Gingrich has two shows on NET. And I know on one level he's anti-establishment, on the other level he is the establishment. He's the Speaker of the House. He's been a Washington force for many years now. So have you been a Washington force for many years now?
Well, I've never been in power. This is Newt's first opportunity at being in power, and we are skeptical of all people that are in power. We've done many commentaries that question things that he's done, that question things that other Republicans have done. This is not a Republican channel. It is a channel that takes a critical look, if you will, at what is happening in our nation's capital as well as elsewhere in the country.
What politically inspired NET?
Well, I have been involved in the political process for a long time. I worked in the United States Senate, founded the Heritage Foundation, Free Congress Foundation, and so on. And I have been concerned about the direction of public policy in this country for a long time. So we produce a lot of materials at our little think tank, which I've often called the best secret in the country, because while we had some minimal impact in Washington, we were not terribly well known around the country. And I felt that this provided us with an opportunity to put some of the experts that we had developed in our think tank on the air and let them develop a national audience for their viewpoint. And in fact, that has happened.
Do you think that the media in general has a liberal bias, which is a point of view that I think some conservatives have?
Well, I worked in the media, and I was one of the few dissenting voices in the media properties that I worked at. So I don't think I know. When I was press secretary to a member of the Senate leadership during the Johnson and Nixon administrations, I can tell you that the media that I dealt with, many of whom are still around, definitely started with a different premise and outlook than I did.
For example?
Well, when, for example, there were riots in Los Angeles and Watts in the 1960s, when the Kent State incident occurred, for example, I think in 1970 and so on. The kinds of questions that we got, that Senator Allet got, who was Gordon Allet was chairman of the Republican Policy Committee, all started with the premise that the people who had initiated these riots were fully justified, and that it was the people who were attempting to stop the riots who were at fault. I don't happen to accept that point of view. And if you questioned that, as my senator did, why you got very sharp questioning and angry retorts, much as you get today.
You've said that when you first got to Washington, you learned how the game was played by watching liberals. What do you think you learned from watching liberals that you've applied to conservative politics?
Well, liberals learned how to organize. They learned how to frame issues. They learned how to seize the moral high ground. They learned how to integrate the work of think tanks and politics inside the United States Congress with political action on the outside and so on. And all of this they did very, very well, because there was a time when liberals were also on the outside. I mean, the establishment, if you will, in the country was very conservative. And so these people had to apply unique techniques in, say, the 1950s to get where they eventually got by the 1960s. And so I looked at all of that. I looked at the campaign schools that they had run. I looked at the think tanks that they had built. I looked at the various operations that they had, and decided that conservatives weren't on the same playing field, that we were forfeiting every game because, they were playing one type of ball and we were playing another. And so I spent a good portion of my life here trying to invent organizations which would fulfill a vacuum which was created by their initiatives. I have great admiration for a lot of the stuff that they've done. I don't agree with it. But in terms of the way in which they learned to operate, there was a lot of brilliance associated with it.
My guest is Paul Weyrich, the founder of National Empowerment Television and the conservative think tanks the Heritage Foundation and the Free Congress Foundation. We'll be right back. This is Fresh Air. Paul Weyrich is my guest. Well, you helped to create the Moral Majority. You were the founding president of the conservative think tank, the Heritage Foundation, and the founder of the Free Congress Foundation. So how do you think conservative think tanks like the Heritage Foundation, the Free Congress Foundation, are helpful in the conservative political arena? What do they provide?
Well, if you're a legislator, and the reason, by the way, that I founded Heritage along with Ed Fulner, is because the two of us, one working on the Senate side, the other working on the House side, had the experience of having members of Congress that wanted to involve themselves in certain issues but had no backup. There was no one capable on the staffs. At that time, the minority representation in the Congress was very low. So if you weren't in control of the Congress, you maybe had, like my senator was on appropriations, we had one staffer for virtually all of the senators that were on appropriations. And the majority had a lot of staffers, but we didn't. And so you didn't have the opportunity to investigate. You didn't have the opportunity to gather data and so on. And so we founded that to really assist members of Congress who wanted to fight battles and who wanted the intellectual backup and the data to do so, because it simply wasn't available in-house for the most part. And that was the whole purpose of founding Heritage. Of course, it has now taken on a much greater role and now has a sort of national reach. But at the time, that was our objective.
And the Free Congress Foundation?
More or less the same. It's just that Heritage elected not to get into certain issues like judicial reform, family-related issues, and so Free Congress was essentially founded to fill the gap, if you will, in the three-quarters of the circle that Heritage did, and then there was the quarter that they didn't do, and Free Congress was founded to do the extra quarter.
I'd like to talk with you a little bit about the bombing in Oklahoma City. With the information that we have now, and the information we have now is still very incomplete, are you inclined to see the bombing as an expression of larger organized forces like the radical militias, or are you now seeing it as the work of individual psychotics?
Oh, I think by what information we have now, you would have to say that probably it was some imbalanced individuals who were outraged and who decided to take matters into their own hands, which is absolutely reprehensible. I don't, at this stage, see the connection between them and other organizations around the country. I mean, it may be that later revelations will prove that there are some connections, but at this stage, I don't think you can make that allegation.
The bombing has certainly cast a lot of light on the radical militias organized in many states around the country. How concerned are you about them, about how armed they are, and about how angry they are at the American government?
Well, first of all, a lot of militias are chartered by local governments or sanctioned by state governments and so on. I think you have to distinguish between those that have been set up, for example, to assist the police, who in this day and age have a virtually impossible job, and those which have what I would regard as immoral purposes, white supremacy or, you know, some sort of radical underground action against the government. And I think that a lot of people are getting an unfair rap because many of these militias have very laudable aims, and it is a perfectly appropriate way for these folks to be involved in the community.
My guest is conservative political strategist Paul Weyrich, the founder of National Empowerment Television. More in a minute. This is Fresh Air. My guest is Paul Weyrich, the founder of National Empowerment Television and the conservative think tanks the Heritage Foundation and the Free Congress Foundation. You've said that the Republicans must nominate a cultural conservative in order to win the presidency. Why?
Well, because a lot of the people who have been voting for the Republicans are not members of the Republican Party. They are, in fact, Democrats who have found their own party incompatible. If the Republicans offer somebody who is sound on cultural values, they will be inclined to vote for that person, particularly on the national level. Many of these people continue to vote for Democrats on the local level. But if the Republicans nominate somebody who is not good on these issues, and if the Democrats, therefore, have nominated somebody that is not good on these issues, and that would fit Bill Clinton, and I assume he will be the Democratic nominee, then you're going to, end up with a lot of people either looking for a third-party candidate or simply staying home. And if they stay home, the Republicans will be in deep trouble in terms of gaining a national majority.
What conservative values do you think the Republican Party should be emphasizing?
Well, I think that you need to start with the family. The fact of the matter is that all the evidence now shows that when you have a breakdown of the family, it has enormous societal consequences, and that that has to be the primary focus, that, in fact, government should be directed so that it supports the notion of the traditional family. And by traditional family, I'm not talking about, you know, the mother that bakes pies or something. I'm talking about a mother and a father and children. And government policies ought to push in that direction as opposed to pushing in the other direction, which has been the case in the past number of years. Beyond that, of course, there is the matter of life, because in my opinion, a government must first of all protect its people from foreign invasion, which we haven't done very well. We are enormously vulnerable to a missile attack, for example, as things are now. And a government ought to protect the weakest, those who can't protect themselves, and among those, of course, are the unborn. And in my opinion, if a party is not willing to stand for that value, then I'm not sure what value the rest of their pronouncements really is.
What about homosexuality? Do you think the Republican Party should take a strong stand against homosexuality in this election?
Well, I don't think it's an election issue. I mean,
I ask you this because I know you helped on a 1982 book called The Homosexual Agenda. I know that's been an issue for you.
Actually, it was called The Homosexual Network, Not Agenda.
Oh, excuse me.
Yes, it was an enormous book produced by Father Enrique Reyda, who looked at the various homosexual organizations and simply categorized what it was they stood for. The fact of the matter is that, again, that relates to the family. Now, I don't want to see a government that harasses individuals, but I don't also want to see a government which says, oh, by the way, it's perfectly okay if you are homosexual, it's a perfectly normal lifestyle, everything is going to be okay, and all of this. That's a lie. And so, in my opinion, what we had in this country over a long period of time was a tolerance of people who kept this to themselves, but, you know, an official view that this is not a normal or appropriate lifestyle. And I think that is a supportable position.
Well, I know that you've worked with Jerry Falwell and you have worked closely with the Christian Coalition. I wonder what you think the difference is politically and strategically between the former Moral Majority and the current Christian Coalition.
Oh, there are enormous differences. First of all, the Christian Coalition folks are a lot more serious about long-term involvement in the political process. The problem with the original group, and it's not just Falwell, it was a whole number of people, most of whom have now passed from the scene as far as active involvement in the political process, they never understood that you have to be committed to the political process in the long term in order to accomplish something. So they wanted to find a political savior. They wanted to have big rallies and try to elect that person president and then go home and forget about it. I told them at the time, this won't work. There are no saviors in politics. And I says, you of all people should know this, and that you have to be committed to join political parties. You have to be committed to elect local officials, people in state legislatures, and so on, to have a serious impact in the political process. They didn't believe it, and they didn't want to do it, and they didn't. The Christian Coalition people believe it, and the people that they have been recruiting are much more serious, and they're willing to run for school board, and they're willing to run for county commissioner and state legislature and so on, and not insist that the only thing you need is the president of the United States. As I used to say that these people were sort of monarchists because they thought that, you know, if you just had the right king, that everything else would be fine. And that isn't how our system functions, never has. So the Christian Coalition people are serious about training their folks. One of the great difficulties that you had with the previous group is that they sent people into battle, so to speak, and I'm talking about politically, unarmed. They didn't train them. And, of course, if you did that in a military sense, people would get killed. Well, of course, their people did get killed in the political sense because they weren't trained, they didn't know what the whole game was about, and they just went into the foray. And you now have, on the part of Christian Coalition as well as other groups, a real desire to see to it that people are armed, that are equipped with an understanding of what the whole process is about, what the issues are about, that they are taught to debate responsibly and not to make statements that aren't supportable, and, you know, all of this sort of thing.
Well, look down the road for me, 5, 10, 20 years from now, if things work out the way you'd like, how would you like to see the local organizing that's going on now, people entering for local office and winning, how would you like to see that affect the national picture?
Well, eventually, if you have governors, as you now have in some states, if you have state legislatures and so on that have people who adhere to traditional values, it is going to impact the congressional scene, because these people, especially if they're term limits, by the way, because then these folks are going to get the opportunity to run for Congress, to run for the United States Senate and whatnot. And so eventually, down the road, you will probably have a lot more of them holding national office, precisely because they got experience and got credentialed at the local level.
Paul Weyrich is the founder of National Empowerment Television and the conservative think tanks the Heritage Foundation and the Free Congress Foundation.